Go ahead and open up to Genesis chapter 37, and we'll get started. Today's topic is the topic of jealousy. Let's just start reading. The idea of the topic was, I thought it might be good for myself and for others to understand that what that means. The topic itself is not a simple topic, and if you opened and started to read, like in Romans 11, don't turn there, and try to understand that verse without understanding God's principle of jealousy, you might get sidetracked and not understand God. I'll read the verse in Romans 11:11. It says, I say, then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. And so God is provoking people to jealousy today, huh? And without understanding of that verse, you might not completely understand what God is doing. So let's look at that, and we'll start with the jealousy of mankind. And you'll know that jealousy is an emotion. And before we get into everything here, it's an emotion that can go two ways. It can go to evil. If you're jealous over someone, you could go and turn to evil, or you could turn to resolve the problem, the situation. Let's look. Genesis 37, verse 3. This is the story of Joseph. I thoroughly love his story, and it's a great series, Understanding Joseph. Genesis 37:3, and it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And that very first verse there, mom loves you more than me, you know. Remember, what was that, the Smothers Brothers? They used to say that. That was their thing, you know. Mom always loved you best. But that would cause jealousy because you're not getting the love you deserve. You're jealous of your brother. And that's what Joseph's brother did. And then the other thing we won't get into is the coat of many colors. That has a story all to itself of speciality. Verse 4. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Their jealousy and envy turned to hatred and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren that they hated him the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheep arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheep. Okay, pal. You know, so he's saying, as by way of illustration, in his dream, the sheaf, the tied wheat or whatever it was in the field, all of their sheaves bowed down to Joseph's sheaf. And it's not bad enough that his dad loved him more. He made him a special coat. Verse 8, and his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more. You see how jealousy is starting to build here? They just keep, and I'm reading this real quick, but this is verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren, what? Envied him because his father observed the saying. And so their envy, if you've read the story, you know of Joseph, maybe some of you do. And they threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery, they lied to their father because they said he was mauled by a bear or a wild beast, and brought him back the coat of many colors with blood on it. And then, they lied about his death. They said he was dead. And so jealousy turned to hatred, turned to attempted murder. throw them in a pit, sold them to slavery. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. We'll look at David for a second. 1 Samuel, if you have trouble finding it, it's just before 2 Samuel. See, I got up real early this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And so some of the very outstanding characters of people in the Bible have gone through people who have envied them and jealous and hated them. And 1 Samuel 18:7. I'm going to go up a little bit. Verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the woman answered one another, and they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Hey, look, I'm the king. I'll slay as many as I want to. And they became jealous. He became jealous of David because all the women came out singing and dancing and saying, David has slain 10,000s. So they're attributing the victory to David, not to the king. And so he eyed him. Well, let's read the verse. Verse 18. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And that word eyed, that was to watch with jealousy. And so that jealousy had taken him captive, and it will. And it will captivate you just like anger. And that's where jealousy turns into anger, and the outcome is not pleasant. This is man to man. We'll get into jealousy with God. I started going through the topic of jealousy, and I'm going, it should be, we need this today, and I need it today. And it shouldn't be that difficult, you know, jealousy. You know, I just look it up in the... There are so many different aspects and different shades and colors of this topic that in one setting, we're just going to look at the topic. And there are so many what we call rabbit trails off of this, and we won't go there today. But we will, we'll just try to keep it focused on the jealousy of God was my main thrust in Romans 11. And these things here help me understand, and maybe you understand also. So David was eyed from that day forward, and we know, if you know anything about David's life, like Joseph, his life after that was not so pleasant, right? Saul did what? Got his army, and he's chasing after David, and he's attempting to kill him. Threw a javelin at him one day, and when he was playing the harp. And so you read the story, find out David's life, how jealousy affected his life, and he had to run from Saul, the king. But David would not hurt a hair of his head because he says he was the Lord's anointed. Another story. Let me read to you. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. I'll read you some verses out of Psalms. Speaking of Israel, their continual turning away. It says, yes, they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, not keeping the law, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. So God is angry, God is jealous, and that's okay with you, isn't it? Yeah, because it says, For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. And he chooses to be jealous. And he is jealous when someone worships an idol, worships another God. Is that okay? That's right. And so people back there, the nation Israel, when they took and turned from God, God gave them rain from heaven and manna, and he gave all these blessings. And then they turned from him and started to worship and serve the idols. The idols gave us the sun god or the rain god or whatever else there is. They started to worship. And God was jealous over them because he gave that to them. And now they turn and say they don't want him. They want this other god. Who would that other god be? Satan. In all the different forms he takes and different teachings he takes. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. I'll start there and explain. But Jeshurun, that is a word that describes Israel, the nation Israel. They waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God. Speaking he forsook God, that's Israel. When he says you have waxed fat, it means you've had all the blessings that I've given you, and you've had food and rain and everything that I've given you, and they forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. God gave them everything, and when they had everything, they didn't need him anymore. We don't need you. We have everything, and we'll just go ahead and forsake you, and we'll go ahead and worship other idols that from our own mind we have made up. The rock of their salvation. Deuteronomy 32:16. They, that was Israel back then, provoked him, that's God, to jealousy with what? Strange gods. Small g. With abominations provoked they him to anger. So the way jealousy works with man is the same way it works with God. Only the results are different. 17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot them, thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And so he's angry with the nation of Israel back there because they are turning away from God and sacrificing unto devils. What is that? Thou shalt have no strange gods before. What's that commandment? Thou shalt have no gods before thee, Deuteronomy. Anyone know it? Okay, how can you go to heaven if you don't know the commandments? thanks, Gary. verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. Is it possible to make God jealous? Is it possible to make God angry? I don't want to make God angry. You don't want to make God angry. And it says, I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And we'll catch up to that verse later on in Romans. God is going to move them to jealousy. Now, does this sound like a loving God? If this is the only verse you know, if this is the only verse you go to learn what jealousy is, and it's, God says, I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger. God is going to make someone angry. Does that sound right? Yeah. In God, what God does is he provokes to jealousy for a reason, because they're having strange gods before them, not turning to him. He's provoking them to anger because they're not following the law. I read some of the verses, his testimonies. And there's two reasons why God chooses jealousy as a spiritual tool. The spiritual tool is he's going to either destroy man. You guys haven't changed your ways. You're still angry, still following strange gods. Or to their own salvation. If they turn and turn back to God, would he still destroy them? No, he brings them into his fold. And so it's for a reason. The purpose for godly jealousy is to see men saved. It's not to turn. If you don't want God, you're not going to want God no matter what. Unless you start and turn your heart to God in here. For Christ died for our sins. That's what we know today. And before I go any further, if you don't understand that verse, Christ died for our sins, that's the way of our salvation. You try to find your way. I'm getting to my conclusion already. If you get to God, try to get to God any other way, he's jealous. That doesn't work. And he won't. He won't save you if you try to get to God by doing the law. We'll get to that later. We saw Joseph, David, and the Old Testament Israelites. Let's move ahead to Paul. Acts 13. Very interesting set of verses here in Acts. Acts 13, verse 38. And this is Paul, he's preaching. Acts 13. And 38. Yeah, let's start at 38. It says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Now, which man would that be? Which man is he preaching, Paul preaching about? Jesus Christ. "And by him all that believe are justified from all things for which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." What did God just take away from them? The law of Moses. What did they have for their salvation? The law of Moses. And so Paul just took something away from them. You ever take a kid? You know, I hate to use the illustration of a kid. You guys got a kid back there? And he's got a blue rattle, and the brother has a green rattle. Wrong colors, probably. But you take the blue rattle away, what happens? The other one wants the blue rattle, right? Or they want what everyone else has, the other person. Same thing with adults, right? When you take something away, you can't have it. What's the first thing you want to do? Have it. Verse 42. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God, not the law. And the next Sabbath day came almost all the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." So today we have Pastor Brandon's going to be speaking here today, and we have almost the whole city of Warren's going to come and listen, right? So everyone else out there in the other churches are going to be jealous of what? Of what's going on here. They see the multitudes, the numbers, and they see that as being something. Some people think numbers is religious and spiritual, but it's not. "When they see almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of God, but when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and so on, they spake against those things." They didn't try to say, hey, they didn't try to understand what was being spoken. They just got angry and started to contradict, and they became jealous, and they started to blaspheme. That's against God, not against man. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, that's the Jew, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to who? Turn to the Gentiles. You Jews over here, you don't want salvation? Okay, no problem. We'll just give it over here to the Gentiles. You guys are the Gentiles over here. Is that okay? Okay. So what, now I've taken it from you. What do you want? You want what you can't have. You see the wisdom of God? And it's the complexity of how God uses this to move people either to anger or move them to what's called emulation, to want to be like that. Acts chapter 17. This will help us understand what jealousy is. Acts 17, verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So Paul is preaching grace, he's preaching the gospel, he's preaching Christ died for your sins. Verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, here's the verse, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. So Paul has a following, doesn't he? Paul is speaking things that don't sound right to the Jews. And he's getting great multitudes listening to him, both Jews and Gentiles. And so the people that are moved with envy in verse 5, they see... They see Paul preaching Jesus Christ died for your sins, the gospel of the grace of God. Great multitudes are following and everything, and they are envious. Acts 13, Acts 17, and other places. What's the main focal point? Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. Acts chapter 17. So what do? They get a bunch of people, and they cause an uproar. And they gather, well, they were called lewd fellows of the baser sort. I don't know where they went to find those guys, but probably at Kmart or Kroger. And so there's a, let's call it a riot, okay? And then, you know where I'm going. And then they assaulted. There's an assault. There's violence. Violence. V-I-O-L-A-C-E. That's violence. I don't know how to spell it. So, what happened to the main focal point? Is it clouded now by other side attractions? What about the other verse? It says they were contradicting. And they were blaspheming. So, the people that were jealous, they don't want to understand the truth. They don't want to discuss the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to promote the truth. Oh, but let's start a fire over here. So the people that are teaching truth have to put this fire out before they get back to the truth. Is that a distraction? That's a distraction. Can I say, are your minds in tune with mine about the government today? Do you see all the distractions? What's the main focal point? Never mind, we're not going there. But you see the distractions. One group of people is... I better be careful. ...has a great following. and is in tune with what God wants to do. And another group is just disruptive. They're jealous over what we have, over what we know, and over God. Everything we stand for, I say that as a blanket statement, I'm careful. Everything we stand for as conservatives, we are careful to follow God's word as close as we can, as much as we can with the abilities God gives us. And then someone doesn't like that. They're jealous. So what do we do about it? You know, jealousy can take different forms, but the results of what you do with jealousy, it can be a motivator. It can motivate. Anger can motivate you, right? You can either be angry at someone, and jealousy can cause anger. You can either try to resolve the problem. Someone keeps saying, showing how good he is and how prideful he is, and kind of you almost become jealous over him because, or her, because of the following that they have, maybe a movie star or something. But you know what? You don't have to pal around with that person. You don't have to be angry at that person. You can separate from that person. God's word has an answer for that. And so, and or jealousy or envy, maybe someone plays the guitar very well, or plays piano very well, you know? Man, I wish I could play like that. You know? And it's not really jealousy, but what would that tinge of jealousy do for you if you wanted to play better? Practice. And learn. Go to the person who can play and learn from that. You don't have to turn jealousy into anger. You can turn it into something that's good. And God's spiritual tool can work in you. But you need to have this in you. You have to have a knowledge of the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, please. I'll read Romans chapter 10 and verse 19. I'm going to read to you from Acts 28. For heart, Paul talking to and about Israel. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. God moved them to jealousy, and he's looking for a positive response from them. You've closed your eyes, you've closed your ears, but I could heal them if they had that change of heart. Be it known unto you, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Acts 28:28. They will hear it. It's sent to the Gentiles. So now jealousy for the nation of Israel is taken full hold, and God has turned. Romans 10:19 says, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. That nation is what nation? Nation Israel, the body of it's not the body of Christ. It's the little flock. God provoked them to jealousy by their own nation. You have the believing Jews and the non-believing Jews. The believing Jews at that time were called the little flock. The non-believing Jews actually would be called Gentiles. But he's going to provoke them by that foolish nation. But now, and if we keep going with Paul's revelation in Romans 11:11, Paul says, I say then, have they stumbled, that's Israel, that they should fall, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Does that make sense? They had salvation in their hand. They fell because they didn't want God. They wanted to follow after their own righteousness instead of God's righteousness. Now, he says, I'm going to give it to the Gentiles to provoke them to get saved like a Gentile. Didn't God just do them a favor? The Jew had to follow the law, all the steps of the law. If you break one point of the law, you're guilty of all, right? How about just being saved by grace? Hey, you know, isn't that easier? He did them a favor by casting them away and coming to the saving the Gentiles. Now you Jews, that's on this side, you didn't know that before you sat down, right? The Jews do not, you can be saved as a Gentile by grace through faith in Christ alone. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, why don't we turn there, in 2 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, second, yeah, that comes right after 1 Corinthians. You're pretty quick this morning, Dennis. 2 Corinthians 11, 1. Oops. Paul says, would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And it says, and we're not going to go there, but as a chaste virgin, it didn't say a chaste virgin. So it's a figurative speech. But one thing is, marriage is one thing where you have one husband and one wife together. And that's where a lot of Old Testament scriptures where God says Israel has played the harlot and gone away. And Paul says in his revelation to us that we have Christ and no other Christ, right? What's the other Christ? He's the Antichrist, right? Watch this. Verse 3, but I fear lest any man, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So is there another Jesus out there? Oh, yeah. Even concerning Israel, Christ said, and if there any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs shall and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Would worshiping another Christ provoke God to jealousy? Oh, yeah. Another Christ. In the New Age movement, there is the thinking that you are all Christs in some form, in some shape. Many different religions believe that there is, Mormons think even, you get different stages of Christ. The Baha'i people, there are many Christs through time, and it's just which Christ. Now, Jesus Christ was Christ, and then there was the Bab, that was a Christ, and then before them there was other Christ. But the Christ for this day and age, and the Christ for this day and age, and so there are many Christs. So, and then you get into Buddhism too, and that gets carried away with different Christs. Another spirit. It says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. There is another Jesus. There is another spirit. Now, if you're not believing Paul's gospel, you would be easily moved away and confused about the Christ and about the spirit. Paul says in Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. then he says, which is not another. Here's what you hold as a gospel, and Paul says, that's not a gospel. Paul, which brings us into a whole other series of studies about my gospel, which Paul preached. Verse 7 said, Galatians 1:7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so on. And so the gospel of the kingdom, is that a gospel? It was. Is it a gospel today? No. It's something back there for our learning, but it's not a gospel. There's the gospel of prosperity, gospel of baptism for remission of sins, the gospel of my mom and dad went to church, and so I'm pretty good. That's not saved. Paul says, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. What about Jesus Christ? Did people envy him? Were they jealous of him? He had great followings. He could feed 5,000 people. How about that? You know, I can't do that. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Because they were jealous of him, their anger for him. He was born of a virgin. Oh, you're so special. They just put him on a cross, condemn him, crucify him. Are we giving our attention and affection and worship and praise and love to anything other than Jesus Christ and his word? Is our Savior jealous because of how we spend our time away from him? Do we make ourselves the other? I'll close with a verse, Galatians 5:26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's learn from God's word about provoking anger, jealousy. And hopefully there are more questions than what I've answered today. And we can talk about that during the day, whatever. I'd love to hear your take on this. Father, glad again for your word. To learn about jealousy, and help us to be in line with your word, and most of all, that everyone here is in line with your gospel, that Christ died for our sins. It's all because of him we pray. Amen.